Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Investor and Analyst Conference Call of WashTec. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty seeing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Mrs. Caroline Kalb, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with my colleagues Volker Zimmermann, Sergey Volodin, and my new colleague Axel Jaeger, who will introduce himself later on today. Again, welcome to our today's analyst call following the publication of our H1 report. As always, the report and presentation for today's call are available on our website, www.washtec.de, and I assume that all of you have the presentation in front of you. As you know, the highlight of the last quarter was our participation in the Unity Expo Fair in Stuttgart in May. The fair has become the leading trade fair for our car wash industry in the recent years. We as WashTec presented Easy Car Wash as one of the highlights at this fair, and this is what our customers and also investors who visited us told us were perceived with this digital solution as the most innovative player in the car wash market. Easy Car Wash, and you can see two pictures on the bottom of the slide, is an app available, by the way, for download in the App Store, which allows car wash customers to easily wash their cars, which are being recognized by the car wash and can start the wash process supported by the app. It allows subscription models where you can wash at any time for a monthly flat fee. Having in mind the low variable costs for the operation of car washes, conversion of existing customers to subscribers does not only lift revenues, but also the profitability for the operators, which are our customers. Other than that, we exhibited our Tunnel Softline Express 2 on a huge LED screen and also the chemical ShieldTex, a new chemical which allows the operator to offer programs with more protection for the car codes. And as you may know, the top program is normally the program with the highest price and should be renewed on a regular basis. In Q2, we also celebrated the grand opening of our first North American tunnel close to Toronto in Canada, and we are busy with further tunnel projects in North America, e.g. in installing another tunnel in the future in Texas. Coming to slide number 3, showing our half-year performance over the years. And as already said at the publication of our first quarter results, our Q2 development was somehow in line with the expectations after the first quarter, which had been below the exceptional first quarter 2017, which had shown a growth of 32%. And you may also have in mind that also Q2 2017 was a very, very good quarter with a growth of 18% compared to the previous year. In the second quarter, and following an order backlog which was at the end of the first quarter at the level of the previous year, business in all areas catched up, partially driven by the good weather conditions. Order intake developed well, and we ended the second quarter with an order backlog on a double-digit level above the previous year. Therefore, we expect a very busy second half of the year and are preparing our organization for a very busy third and fourth quarter. Revenues in the second quarter were on prior year level. After 6 months, therefore, the revenues were at 200.1 million, which means 9.8 million or 4.7% below 2017. Adjusted by currency effects, revenues were 2.5% below 2017. In Q2, the EBIT amounted to 12.9 million euro. This resulted in an EBIT of 18.3 million euro. Compared to the 25 million in 2017, mainly driven by the lower revenues and lower number of installations. The EBIT ratio after 6 months was at 9.2%. Our free cash flow in the second quarter was slightly above last year. Nevertheless, after 6 months, the free cash flow was still at minus 4.4 million euro. Driven by the already described effects of a lower operating income in combination with effects of tax prepayments, which should be repaid in the course of the year, and compared to 2017, missing customer payments for bulk orders, which had already been received at the end of 2017. You may remember that special effect of having some cash on hand on the 31st of December 2017. For the full year, we still expect an increase in free cash flow compared to 2017 and are working on working capital optimization in parallel to the preparation for more installation in the second half of the year. Coming to the revenues by product groups on slide number 4, over the course of the quarter, our equipment sales catched up, as I already said, and equipment and service sales in Q2 were only 2.9% below 2017. After 6 months, equipment and service sales were at 168.4 million after 178.7 million in 2017. And I remember that I told you something about increased service revenues after the first quarter. That was driven by some special upgrading projects which had been completed in the second quarter of this year, therefore no special effects in the service revenues in the second quarter. Business with independent customers continues to develop very well, while key account revenues were in total, as expected, below prior year. On the other hand, key accounts invest according to their regular investment schemes, and therefore business with key accounts also catched up in the second quarter of 2018. For the full year, we expect a growth in all product segments, rollovers, tunnels, and jet wash, and this is also reflected in our order funnel and intake. As of today, and as I already told you, our order backlog for the group in all product segments, but also in all regions, is on a double-digit level above the prior year. Looking at the chemicals, they showed an impressive growth of 21% in the second quarter only, which was also driven by, you know, exceptional weather conditions in our core markets in Europe. We enjoy sunshine, I think, since April of this year, and maybe had 1 or 2 weeks of rain in total since then. After 6 months, the chemical revenues were at 24.8 million euro, and therefore the great Q2 was even able to overcompensate the effect of Q1 when chemical revenues were still below the prior year. Operations business was able to grow the revenues by 0.1 million euro in Q2 and therefore ended the first half of the year with revenues of 6.9 million. And as all of you know, the operations business has a minor influence on the group performance. Looking at the results per segment, you see that Europe once again was the main profit and revenue generator for the group. And Europe as a region was able to grow its revenues by 1.5% and ended the first half of the year with revenues of 166.7 million euro. The Mediterranean countries, including France, continue to perform well, but also the remaining countries catched up. In Q2 only, the revenues grew by 4.2%. The EBIT of 21.8 million euro reflects a double-digit EBIT margin of 13.1%. In Q2 only, the EBIT was at 13.29 million euro after 11.7 million euro last year, thus again showing the profitability and the power of this region within the WashTec Group. as predicted, North America, which had benefited the most from the bike orders received last year, was not able to catch up in the first half of the year. In the second quarter, revenues were at 18 million euro after 21.6 million euro in 2017. After 6 months, revenues were down 12.6 million euro to 30.9 million euro. In US dollars, revenues were at 37.2 million US dollars versus 47.1 million US dollars in 2017. Driven by these lower revenues, EBIT was negative at minus 2.9 million after plus 3.5 million in 2017, and that, and I will come to that later, also had an effect on our tax rate in the first 6 months of the year for the group. For the full year, we aim for stable revenues in North America, driven by the higher activities in direct sales, and we already see a positive effect coming from these higher direct activities, underlined by a positive order intake development and order backlog in North America, and therefore we are confident that they will be able to meet their targets for the full year. Asia Pacific as a region continued to perform well. We were able to achieve a revenue increase of 21.7% in the first 6 months, driven by a positive performance of China as well as of Australia. EBIT after 6 months was on prior year level at minus 0.3 million euro. That was driven by special effects following changes in the sales structures in Australia. And quite recent information, China is on a very successful track this year. They reported quite recently that they are almost now at the number of units that they had in total in the last year. So we see that the Chinese business is performing very well. And following these effects, we expect for the full year now significantly higher revenues in Asia Pacific at a stable EBIT margin. Which brings me to the profit and loss statement on the next slide. Gross margin improved by 1% to 58.3%, driven by the already described product and region mix different compared to the last year. Personnel expenses increased by 2.4 million euro due to a higher number of employees compared to the previous year period and wage increases. As of June, we had 1,844 headcounts, meaning 56 or 3.1% more than as of the same time at the previous year. Headcount was increased in the areas of sales, service, R&D, and production. Other operating expenses grew only slightly by 0.3 million euro to 28.9 million euro, despite the expenses incurred for the trade fair Unity Expo. As you know, and as already told in connection with the last quarterly call, in 2018, we do have a very strict focus on cost management in our company. The tax rate, as already mentioned before, increased, resulting inter alia from the lower contribution of North America, where we were able to use tax losses carried forward last year when we generated profit. In general, and for the full year, we assume a tax rate of 31% for the group. Net profit was at 11.4 million euro compared to 17.4 million in 2017, and EPS accordingly at 85 cents compared to 1 euro 30 after 6 months, 2017. On slide number 7, you can see our balance sheet structure and highlights. The balance sheet total of 243 million increased, mainly driven by higher inventories of 47.3 million euro due to the expected busy second half of the year. Accounts receivables at the same time decreased from 69.5 million euro to 67.7 million euro. The equity ratio decreased to 29.8% following the dividend payment of 32.8 million euro and after a 40% equity ratio as of the year end. Our net financial debt increased from 7.1 million euro at the end of the year to 45.7 million euro, also mainly as a consequence of the dividend payment of almost 33 million euro. In Q2, and that's also important for you to know, we continued negotiations with banks regarding our financing agreements, and we expect to conclude our new financing agreements at improved conditions in the course of Q3 and 4. Net operating working capital increased slightly to 89.9 million euro after 86.7 million euro, driven by the higher inventories and the changed intake of prepayments as already described on the previous slides. Cash outflow from investing activities decreased by 1.1 million euro to 4.0 million euro. And as you know, we expect our CapEx in the full year to be below 2017. Coming to the share and investor relations activities, after many periods of share price growth, we finished the quarter with a share price of 75.70 euro and thus underperformed the SDAX for the first time two or three consecutive years. Following the share price movements, we received a notification of a new investor, Fidelity Management and Research, exceeding the 3% threshold and are proud to have such a renowned new shareholder on our key shareholders list. All in all, we see a continuously high interest in our investor relation activities with investor meetings in Augsburg or during investor conferences and roadshows, and are convinced that investing into WashTec is a very good investment. And this does not only apply to us as a management, because as you may have read, all of the management board members have invested in further WashTec shares in the course of the second quarter. Also, Axel Jäger, my new colleague, is already invested in WashTec, and Dr. Seeland, our financial expert in the supervisory board, has invested into WashTec after the annual general meeting in May this year. Looking out at further investor relations activities, we will be presenting at the Baader Bank Conference in Munich at the 24th of September this year. And we will be happy to see a lot of you during the conference, or maybe also at a site visit in Augsburg, because Munich is not that far away from Augsburg. Therefore, just jump on a train and come and visit us to see our headquarters and production facilities. And that brings me to the outlook for the second half of 2018. You can see a very condensed overview of the numerous activities that we have in the second half of 2018. First of all, of course, we want to realize our order backlog. That means that we need to produce more machines and also to install these machines, and that will keep our organization quite busy. And implementation of Easy Car Wash is on the way. Subsidiaries get extra training and are now executing and implementing the first orders in the various markets. As I already said, order intake and backlog are well above last year in all regions. And if I think about how is the order backlog structured, the business with independent customers shall disproportionately drive the revenue growth also in the second half of the year, as the key accounts are investing, but investing according to their regular investment schemes and not expecting further bulk orders for the second half of the year. Efficient processes remain a key focus of the organization, and this not only refers to the example of shorter lead times driven by a better alignment of production with installation, as already mentioned before. All of this is underlined and supported by our ongoing work on our corporate culture. And last but not least, and again, as I already told you before, we are going to finalize our new financing agreements before the end of the year. And there we were also able to improve the conditions for financing, and this should be reflected in positive results next year. Order backlog underlines the reiterated and confirmed guidance for the full year, revenue growth of approximately 3% with a disproportionate growth in earnings and growth in free cash flows. As already explained, we changed our guidance for the segment Asia Pacific, but the changed guidance for the segment doesn't have an impact on the group guidance. And now, and as last good news, I have the pleasure of handing over to my new colleague Axel Jäger, our new CFO, who will introduce himself to you before we start, as always, with answering any questions that you may still have after the presentation. So, Axel,
yes.
It's your turn.
Thank you. Hello everyone. Maybe I say a few words to my person. I am 52 years old. I started my, so to say, professional life in the assurance and audit business with Andersen and Ernst & Young in Stuttgart. I worked quite some time in the transaction advisory businesses. Moved then 2005 to Zeiss in Oberkochen. I started with the organization and setup of a shared service center. Later on, I headed the treasury and in-house banking activities of Zeiss. Then I had the position of a member of the management board and CFO in the industrial and measuring technology business. And my last position was, again, member of the management board and CFO of the semiconductor business of Zeiss. I'm looking forward to working at WashTec with the team. Now, after the first 3 weeks, it's a very good impression. It's a great company, I think, with good outlook and a lot of chances in the market for the future.
So, thank you, Axel, and we will look forward to receiving your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We received the first question from Alexander Helitzer, Hauck & Aufhäuser. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I would have several questions around your guidance. So the full-year sales outlook basically calls for some 10% year-over-year growth in the second half of the year, and also looking at the EBIT guidance would also imply quite a significant step up. We're looking at incremental EBIT margin of 40% around that, if we assume that you grow by 3% for the full year. So maybe in this context, if you could talk a little bit on several topics here. So first one would be how could you, if you could assess kind of your confidence level maybe in delivering such a strong second half of the year, in particular with regards to earnings. And maybe then secondly, how do you like in general the order dynamics that you see going into second half of the year? And would you also say that you could potentially outperform this 3% year-over-year growth for the full year and grow above that? Or is there really kind of an installation capacity bottleneck that sort of caps the potential growth at this 3% level? Thank you.
Hello, Alexander, and thank you for your question. And you seem to know WashTec very well. So if If you think about the full year guidance, you are completely right that we aim to achieve the majority of our profitability in the second half of the year. And we need to do that to reach our guidance. But as you know, on the other hand, we have quite strong leverage effects. Therefore, if we realize the order backlog that we already have and the continuously positive trend that we see in our order intake, then the guidance for the full year is strongly underlined by backlog and development that we saw over the last 8 to 12 weeks. And normally, if we manage to increase the production and to increase the number of units produced and installed, the typical effect for WashTec is that the profitability is going up. And therefore, I'm quite confident that we are able to reach our guidance. The 3+%, if we can reach more than 3%, as you know, today we are at the end of July and not at the end of August or September, and typically our order backlog gives us a visibility of roughly 3 months, maybe a little bit more. Therefore, we do not have the full visibility for the end of September. If order intake would continue to perform very well, and as you just said, if we manage to really, you know, use the existing installation capacities as planned, and do not, get problems because to sites not being ready to finish installation or something like that, which could cause, you know, like a bulk in installations at the same time. This can happen. Up to now, it's too early to say that we are confident to reach more than 3%, but we are confident that, and we are happy that we can confirm our guidance of 3% revenue growth. I hope that answers your questions.
Yes, thank you very much. That was very clear. If I may just have another follow-up. In terms of Australia, where you do this reorganization, restructuring, is that already done with the H1, or is there something in terms of cost, additional cost, or we have to expect something in the second half of the year as well?
No, the special effects were already part of the first 6 months costs, so they already incurred. But for the full year, and as you know, we try to have a quite conservative guidance, we therefore adjusted the EBIT guidance for a stable EBIT for this region.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
The next question is from Richard Schran, HSBC. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. From my side, I would like to just follow up on this question on Asia-Pacific, where you said, if I have noted it down correctly, that you expect a clear growth for the full year with this strong first half, taking as a positive sign going forward. But just a stable EBIT margin, however, that would mean not a very significant result because, if I see it correctly, last year it was more or less only break-even. So what should we expect in terms of profitability from this market here? Can you transform this higher volume also in a bigger profit contribution from this side? And second question concerning also this strong volume growth and deliveries you expect for the second half. We have heard a lot of complaints and negative news from other companies about the shortage of supplies and that there are bottlenecks appearing because production across the whole industry is running at very high levels. Do you see something in this respect also in your supply chain, or would you say that you are free of this risk for the second half? Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Schramm, and thank you for your question. I will start with Asia Pacific. There are a couple of effects. One is the effect that I already described, the special effect with the in connection with the changes in sales structures. That has already incurred, but will impact the full year profitability. Another effect is the change in revenue mix. We have a higher contribution of revenues from China, and so the mix in total has changed a little bit. And in Australia, we do not expect to continue to grow tremendously in the second half of the year. And therefore, we decided to adjust the EBIT guidance to a stable EBIT compared to the previous year. And as you know, our definition of stable is plus minus 2%. And with regard to your question of shortage of supplies, what we do see is that we experience longer lead times for certain parts and components. Up to now, we did not have a real shortage in supplies. But we do see that every vendor of WashTec is quite busy. Fortunately, for critical parts, we typically have also alternative solutions if one vendor would tell us that he is not able to deliver anymore. So up to now, we see effects of longer lead times, but we do not see really shortages of supplies.
Thank you.
The next question is from Eckhard Kult, Warburg Research. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello everybody. Also a follow-up on Asia Pacific. You made the remark that the mix is affecting the margin because you have a higher part of business in China. So this then should mean the margins in China are lower than in the rest of Asia Pac. Is that assumption right? And then can you give us a figure how about the extra costs you have incurred in the first half for the reorganization of a sales force in this region, please? This is the first question.
Hello, Mr. Kohl's.
Hi.
As you rightfully said, in China, we are in a market where we are just establishing structures, where we are adding people not only in the production, because fortunately we produce more machines, but also in the field of sales and service in order to, you know, complete the installations and continue to grow the business. We are very happy about the performance of China this year and see the operations there rather as an investment, not with the same focus on, you know, becoming the most profitable region as we have that in Europe, where we have very established structures and where we can optimize established structures. In China, it's rather the other way around. We are building up structures. And as you may also know, the Chinese machines that are produced in China, not the tunnels, which are delivered from Augsburg, but the Chinese rollovers, are more basic rollovers at a lower price than a typical gas station rollover, which would be installed in Germany or in the Nordics. And this, of course, also has an effect on the profitability. But all in all, the Chinese operations are for us currently an operation where we have a strict focus on, you know, they shouldn't lose a lot of money, but they are not the ones who should contribute the highest profitability for the group. They shall be the ones who should contribute to the mid- and long-term growth of WashTec as one of the main regions.
Okay. And regarding the one-off costs related to the reorganization of a sales organization?
Yeah, the one-off costs are comparable to the one-off costs that you also see in the banking industry from time to time. This is when you change some management functions, and then you sometimes incur costs from that.
Yeah, but I wanted to get a number because I want to account for an adjusted figure. So this is the reason for my question.
You know, Mr. Kurz, you are smart. Therefore, you could find some figures for in the last quarterly report when a very prominent member of the WashTec Group left the group. But even that was not disclosed in a press release, and therefore we also do not want to disclose that specific number. But you can assume that the full effect has been already, you know. Been shown in the EBIT of after the 6 months of 2018.
Okay, and the cost for the Unity Expo, I think this should not be a secret, or?
A little bit below half a million euro.
Okay. And then I was a little bit surprised about the loss in the second quarter in North America, because you had a substantially higher sales volume in the second quarter compared to the first quarter. And if my figures here are right, sales in Q2 were similar to the number of Q3 last year when you made 1.2 million positive EBIT in North America. Now in the second quarter you were at minus 0.7 million. Is there a special reason why the result is negative? Or please, maybe you can explain the swing.
Yeah, first of all, the main reason for the lower results are the missing revenues compared to the last year. But you're right, we have slightly higher cost structures in North America because we have done a lot of installations in the course of last year. And these installations do need to be serviced, and therefore we have further invested into service structures and are also continuously investing into further extending our sales structures. North America for us is also a region where we want to continuously grow the business. And I think, you know, if they will really, and I'm confident that they will, manage to keep the 2017 level of revenues, which means that they compensate a large bulk order effect for this operation with additional direct sales. I'm okay and with them having a lower profitability than we have today in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe going back many, many years, when you took over Mark 7 in 2006, you worked already for WashTec. And at that time, I understood medium term, the target is to bring the North American activities to the profitability level of Europe. So there were some problems in between, but now North America seems to be on a good way. So is that still the goal to bring it to the same level, or are there some arguments why that if this is not possible?
No, I think, you know, when North America will manage to have the same volume as Europe, they should also be able to have the same profitability as Europe has today. What you have to have in mind that today we do not have the same volume, and we also do not have the exactly same margin that we have from chemicals in Europe. So that's another effect, but I would say getting to the profitability level of Europe in the next 2 years would be unrealistic, but the aim to have a double-digit profitability is not an unrealistic goal for our North American operations.
Okay, sounds good. And then lastly, a remark on your policy not to communicate order intake and order backlog figures. So is there a special reason why do you give always only a qualitative figure? Because all other engineering companies I cover or I know release these figures.
Yes, there is a special reason. We are the only stock-listed company in the industry, and our competitors are anyhow super keen to grab all the transparent information that we give as we are a publicly listed company. If we would now even, you know, quantify our order backlog and our order intake, this would really be a mess for the market.
We do not want to make our competitors more aggressive.
But you are, so in German we say Platzhirsch of the industry, so by far the biggest one. If you have reasons, I can understand it. So far you have guided us very well with your qualitative statements on order intake. So it's okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kohl. And as you know WashTec for such a long time, anyhow, you have a clear idea about our qualitative statements.
Okay.
The next question is from Oliver Knobloch-Pickte. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much for taking my questions. A couple of them have been answered. But I would be curious to hear from you a qualitative statement about the new equipment orders split between large chains or key accounts and individual operators. So does it have changed significantly? This is the first question. Then I assume when you talk about double-digit order backlog increase, this is slightly above 10% and not 20 or something like this.
Now we are coming closer and closer to quantitative statements.
No, it's just... I mean, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Then digging a little bit more into the two major regions, North America and Europe. I would be curious about your tunnel business. I mean, you told us that your big tunnel in Canada was opened and has been so far a big success. So have your salespeople now started to sell tunnels also in this very lucrative market? Or do you have tunnels in your order book in a significant manner? And in Europe, I'm very curious about the development in the UK, where you have this mess around the Brexit on the one side. And then on the other hand, I know that you have done a very good lobby work disqualify hand wash compared to machine wash. So this would be my second question. And then I'm really curious that the hefty wage increase in Germany had not a bigger negative impact on the EBIT margin in Europe. I must say I'm positively surprised that you were holding up this EBIT margin in Europe quite well despite this wage increase. So can you maybe make a comment on this as well?
Thank you for your questions, Mr. Knobloch, and good that we finally exchanged the dial-in details. First, regarding any changes in customer split, if we look at the order intake, it is right that a disproportionate growth in business with independent customers, our so-called direct sales, is continuously driving the sales growth. On the other hand, I found out that sometimes, you know, this missing bulk orders of key accounts seem to be a little bit misleading because, of course, we want to keep the business with key accounts on our very high and stable level. We are by far the market leader with regard to key accounts, and this is a business we of course also want to keep and also grow. The only difference between 2017 and 2018 was that special bulk order effect that we received from a major global customer in the previous year. Business with independent customers was an area of business where WashTec had not been particularly strong in the past, and is an area where we still see a lot of potential. Therefore, this area should drive the growth more than the key account business. But even with regard to key accounts, we still see potential with local key accounts and also with international key accounts where we can increase our market position. Your question regarding the double-digit growth of order backlog, it is, and as you know, we are very conservative, so we wouldn't have said something like double-digit if it wouldn't have been much more than the 10%. So, second question was with regard to the tunnel in North America. The tunnel that we are offering in North America is a high volume tunnel, which only suits really high performing sites. And of these high performing sites, there are not hundreds available throughout the big North America, because these are sites where more than 100 cars or even more than 150 cars per hour are being washed. So we have a couple of more orders and a number of projects that we are working on. And as I already said in the presentation, the next project due is a very big tunnel in Texas that we are working on. With regard to the UK, I agree with you, and I don't want to overestimate our lobby work because we are very small in the UK. But finally, it seems that, you know, all the numerous activities have showed a certain effect. There were a lot of radio spots and also television spots about the so-called modern slavery. And this is especially with regard to hand wash sites in the UK. So therefore, we expect further positive results coming from, you know, this higher focus of the public on the working conditions in hand wash centers. Nevertheless, if I look at UK, for me, the UK is a market full of potential because our market position in the UK is not where we want it to be. We have changed, and as you know, we have changed management and organization in the UK. I think that we do have the right management in place, and therefore I expect the UK, even despite the Brexit, to be able to grow from the level that they have today. We see some positive signs, but I'm quite confident that the UK as a country can contribute much more to the WashTec Group than they do today. And thank you for your compliment on the personnel costs. I can tell you that internally we are not so happy about the increase in personnel costs, because the goal is always to keep the level of personnel costs stable and not to have too many increases, and that's maybe one of our hardest challenges of the management, you know, how many headcounts to increase in the growth areas and where not to allow any increase in headcounts. So all in all, thank you for the compliment. We still believe we should have managed maybe a little bit better. As you may have seen, a lot of the profitability did not come from the still higher personnel costs, but from the better gross margin that we had, and that was caused by the different product and region mix. So thank you for the compliment, maybe even a little bit too much.
Thank you very much.
There's a follow-up question from Richard Schramm, HSBC. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you. So I would like to come back to the prospects in North America, where you aim at a stable sales volume, which would mean that you would have to achieve a new record figure in the second half in respect of sales. So I'm still wondering why you are so confident here, because I assume that the visibility in this market is not better than in the other markets, like Europe here, for example. So what gives you the confidence that you can see the significant sales push here in the second half, especially as you said at the same time that you do not see any bulk orders coming in the second half of this year. So this extraordinary strong first half from last year should be not repeated. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Schramm. And if we look at how do we verify our outlook for the remaining quarters, there are two areas that we are looking at. Number one is, of course, the order backlog, because these are the orders that are confirmed, financing is secured, and they are going to be produced and installed in the next 2 to 3 months, typically. The other thing we are looking at is the level of sales activities. And this is measured by numerous KPIs, something like, you know, visits per day, which customers to visit, what customers to visit, and. And these sales activities, they end in a so-called order funnel, where orders are shown with a certain probability. And that gives us another indication above the confirmed order backlog, which orders to expect in the forthcoming weeks. That's number one, and that's mainly with regard to independent customers. On the other hand, also Mark 7 has still some key accounts, and these key accounts also give an indication about the level of their regular investment in the second half of the year. And therefore, we also, in this regard, we have a positive outlook, and that together brings us to the confidence to confirm that we will be able to catch up all the effects in the second half of the year. On the other hand, you are right, this will be challenging for the American organization because they need to produce a lot of units and they need to install a lot of units. But I've been there quite recently, and I think that the management team is fully focused and full of energy, and I'm confident that they will achieve their goals in this year.
Okay. Thank you, Rajan. Good luck then.
Thank you.
There's a next follow-up from Alexander Helitzer. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you very much. First one is on Texas, this new tunnel site that you're going to be equipping with the machines. Can you say how many tunnels you're planning to install there?
Hi, Alexander, again. I think this time it's just one tunnel. So it's not okay. Like in Canada, which was quite exceptional, where you have two parallel tunnel chains at one side. This time it's one, but also a very high-performance tunnel.
Okay, and maybe the last one would be more of a general question if you feel to speculate a little bit. So in general, WashTec is certainly a company that deserves to be valued not on the next 2-3 years, but rather on a longer-term perspective. So I was just wondering whether you would be willing to speculate maybe a little bit. What is, in your eyes, the long-term perspective for WashTec in terms of how much growth is there still in Europe? What is the opportunity in the U.S., China in your eyes? How, in other words, how big do you see the company in, let's say, more distant future? And would you expect to also sustain the high returns you've been able to generate thus far?
Alexander, as you are the specialist for facts and figures and numbers, I can just give you a very personal answer. I'm with WashTec since many years, and I'm still very excited to work in that company because I think it's a great organization, and I think that we have a lot of potential ahead of us. And this not only refers to these, you know, missionary markets like China, which is very exciting for us and where we are only at the very beginning of a further development. This also refers to North America and still to Europe, which again proved this year that they were able to grow their revenues in the first half of the year. And, you know, we see every day that we are able to increase business in the different product areas, that we are able to continue to grow our chemical business. So I personally, I am very excited about WashTec, and I'm very confident that this company will be able to continue its growth track. And we have a lot of smart people on board, and therefore I also believe that we will be able to convert this growth into profitability. What the number will be is up to you, Alexander. And I hope that you will continue to follow us, of course.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. That sounds very good.
We received another follow-up question of Eckhard Kult. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello again. Coming to the tax rate, you guided us for 31% tax rate for the full year 2018. So last year we saw 28.4%. For the first half of this year, I understand why the tax rate is much higher because of the losses in North America. But for the full year, you're expecting North American results to be stable. What is the reason for that? Because tax losses carried forward expired or have been used in the U.S.? Or is it a mixed effect? And what can we expect beyond 2018? Thanks.
So, sorry, Mr. Kurz. Our aim was to give more clarity by saying that we expect a 31% tax rate for the group, but the opposite seemed to be the case.
No. the figure, of course, is of help, but the second thing is for us to understand why.
It's exactly as you said. We were able to use tax losses carried forward last year. And we used these tax losses carried forward. Therefore, when we will be profitable in the second half of this year in North America, we will still pay higher taxes than last year when we generated profits and didn't pay taxes.
Okay, so 31% is also a good guess for the years to come?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. So everything is clear now.
Good.
We haven't received any further questions. I would like to hand back to you.
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in that call. I assume that all of you expect a very sunny and hot weekend, and I can tell you that in Augsburg we expect 37 degrees over the weekend. So I hope everyone has an air conditioner at home or a lake nearby. Enjoy the sun and talk to you soon. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This conference has been concluded. You may disconnect.